Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel. The text is John chapter 12, verses 20 to 33. The Reverend Dr. Daniel Preuss is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by the LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from John chapter 12. Now among those who went up to worship the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus, and Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God that we consider as the basis of our meditation this morning has been caused by the Holy Spirit to be recorded in the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, the second chapter, verses 1 and 2. "And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." In Jesus' name, dear friends. A number of years ago, my wife and I were in India taking a trip with my sister Katie and her husband Steve Briel, whom a number of you know. Steve and I had just finished teaching 500 pastors at a conference in Guntur, Andhra Pradesh. And now the four of us were going to be touring India's famous Golden Triangle. Toward the beginning of that tour, we visited a Hindu temple. And a priest, a Hindu priest, was giving us a tour of this temple. At one point, he stopped in front of a little grotto, inside which there was a statue, and in front of the grotto there was a bell. And he said to us, "Would you like to ring the bell?" And my wife said, "No." Now her voice is not as masculine as mine, but I assure you it was equally emphatic. The priest was offended, especially when he looked at the other three of us and saw that we all affirmed my wife's answer to his question. The purpose of the bell, we had learned, was to awaken the goddess within the statue so that she would be able to hear our prayers and listen to what we had to say to her. Well, needless to say, none of us wanted to participate in an activity like that. We learned something else during that time that was rather interesting. not every statue of a god or goddess is an idol in Hindu worship. Only when that statue has been dedicated does the god or goddess then enter that and inhabit it and receive its receive worship and praise from his or her adherents. So the word idol does not carry a negative connotation among Hindus who believe these things. And the dedication of an idol, dedication of a statue in order that it might become an idol, to receive the worship of people, was a very positive event in their view. Today, we dedicate a crucifix. We do not do so in order that we may pray to the God within the crucifix. And any bells that are rung here today will not be rung to summon the God within the crucifix. Stephen the martyr confessed before the high priest and his fellow Jews, "The Most High does not dwell in houses made by hands. Much less does he dwell in a crucifix." Still, we dedicate this crucifix. What does that mean? The English word dedicate comes from the Latin dedicare, which means to give good tidings or to proclaim. The purpose of this crucifix is going to be to proclaim. And the nature of that proclamation could not be clearer. It is evident. There you see the corpus on the cross. What is the proclamation of the crucifix? Christ crucified for the sins of the world. He gave his body on that cross for us. He shed his blood on that cross for us. And so it is no small work that this crucifix is going to perform. In our text, Paul tells the Corinthians that he comes to them proclaiming, not with lofty speech or wisdom, but with the proclamation of Jesus Christ and him crucified. And so we place this cross, this crucifix, in this chapel, built on the sermon of Paul. It is to proclaim Christ crucified. It is not insignificant that in his resurrected state, in his glorified state, Jesus retains the marks of his crucifixion. The marks on his hands and side declare that he is the one who was crucified. And so it is no accident that Jesus points Thomas to those marks. Now, if you think about it for a moment, that's not really the most natural way to have Thomas recognize who is standing there before him. The most natural way would be the way we recognize people. We see their face, and we know who it is. But Thomas, Jesus doesn't say to Thomas, "Thomas, look at me, you know me." He points him to the marks of his crucifixion. Because he wants to teach Thomas a lesson, and the other disciples also, by the way. You are to know me by my crucifixion. And so Thomas, touch the marks that proclaim Christ crucified. And so it is not on the day of his ascension into heaven, not even on the day of his resurrection, but it is from the cross that Jesus cries out, "It is finished." Ancient history looks back, looks forward. Modern history looks back to the same moment, the moment that Jesus on that cross said, It is finished. And we know that at that moment, all our enemies had been vanquished. Satan had been crushed. Our sin and guilt had been drowned. And we had received a victory through Christ our Savior. That's what those words, "it is finished," mean. The Apostle Paul declares, "I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." It is really no wonder that he says that in view of what the cross itself signifies. He does not say this in order to limit his proclamation, as though he were saying, "I'm not going to tell you about anything else," but to indicate that at the center of absolutely everything he preached would be that cross and the crucifixion that took place upon it. Because to preach Christ crucified is to preach forgiveness of sins. And where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also
life and salvation.
The proclamation of the crucifixion, therefore, is absolutely central to the Christian message, because it addresses our basic need. You and I are sinful in thought, word, and deed. Now, it was at this point that I had considered, this point in my sermon, that I had considered enumerating all of your sins. But I was talking to Kim Veeker prior to this service, and she said our chapel addresses, we like to keep them to about 8 minutes. And I thought, well, that's not going to happen. At the same time, we will forgo the almost endless enumeration of your sins. Suffice it to say that every one of you frequently confesses, "I, a poor, miserable sinner," and with those words expresses that you are extremely needy. And of course, Jesus in his crucifixion has answered that need completely. The message evoked by the crucifix, is, by the way, the same message declared in our celebration of the Lord's Supper. In the Lord's Supper, the Apostle Paul says that every time we eat the bread and drink from the cup, we proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. The very fact that in the Lord's Supper we eat the body that was crucified and we drink the blood that was shed is a proclamation by the church and by every one of us who participates that the Lamb of God was crucified and that he washed away the sins of the world. Without that crucifixion, our faith has no foundation. And without that crucifixion, Christianity dissolves. Without that crucifixion, nothing of our Christian faith has meaning. Without the crucifixion, we are not baptized into Christ's death. Without the crucifixion, we do not participate in the forgiveness of sins in the Lord's Supper, and certainly aren't drinking his blood. Without the crucifixion, there is no resurrection. And if there is no resurrection, as St. Paul says, we are of all people most to be pitied. But now is Christ risen from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And the one who was crucified lives. And we have a living hope through faith in him. In addition to declaring a crucifix today, we also install a new chief administrative officer. His objective I think you know this. His objective will be to assist our church body to proclaim Jesus Christ crucified. In fact, that is the objective of all the work that is done in this building. It may not seem that way to some of you as you go about your daily tasks, but you and your work are committed to the proclamation of Jesus Christ crucified. That is the mission of our church, and that is your mission, regardless of what your job here is. That was certainly the viewpoint of Tom Kupta, in whose memory this cross is dedicated today. Tom was elected as the chief financial officer of the Missouri Synod in 2001, and he was willing to serve in that position because he truly believed that in doing so, he was serving his Lord Jesus Christ. Tom did not grow up a Lutheran, but when he became a Lutheran, he embraced our confession with all of his heart. He and his wife, Ilona, dedicated themselves to the proclamation of the gospel in its purest form, and there is no symbol that speaks more clearly to that proclamation than the symbol of a crucifix. It is therefore very appropriate that this crucifix be dedicated in memory of Tom Kupta on this Holy Cross Day. And I would like to suggest that there could be no day more suitable for your installation, Mr. Locke, than this Holy Cross Day. May God greatly bless you in all the work you do. And may he bless the proclamation of the gospel that takes place here at the International Center of our beloved church, in order that Christ may be clearly proclaimed. In his name we ask it.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, the individual before us has been properly appointed by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to serve in the following position: Felix Locke, Chief Administrative Officer. Let us hear the word of the Lord. By the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Romans 12. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. 1 Corinthians 12. Felix, do you solemnly promise to carry out the responsibilities of your office in conformity with the Holy Scriptures and in keeping with the confessions of the Evangelical Lutheran Church as a true exposition of the Scriptures? If so, then answer, I do.
I do.
Do you solemnly promise to perform the duties of your office, making the best use of the abilities God has given you, in accordance with the Constitution and bylaws of the Synod? If so, then answer, I do.
I do.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, you have heard the solemn promise of Felix, who has been properly appointed to serve Synod. Will you support and pray for him in his work? If so, then answer, we will.
We will.
Felix, are you ready and willing to assume your work? If so, then answer, I am.
I am.
You may kneel. Let us pray. Almighty and most gracious God, we give thanks that you send your people true and faithful servants. Grant to Felix, as he serves in this position, the direction, aid, and counsel of your Holy Spirit, that through his labors your church may be nourished, sustained, and equipped for every good work, and build up into him who is the head, even Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Felix, go in peace and joy. The Almighty and most merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you and bless and strengthen you for service in his name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.